So, Tony, we have another meeting at 1:30. And we're on, agenda item eight, discussion and possible action on the report from the technical consultant on regional planning updates.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to invite my alternative up here.
Okay.
My alternate up here.
You did hear the no.
Who was it? It was Jennifer. Yeah, but it's still bad. Okay, so David, Mr. Collinsworth already said that, so I don't need to repeat it. Go ahead, Tony.
All right, regional planning updates. So, we're on time, under budget. We've, got an amendment, on the table with the Water Development Board to do the, final funding, that'll be included in the, probably the next meeting. As far as today, what's being asked of the planning group, no formal action is being requested today. I guess that means y'all can take a nap, but I will say that what we are going to do very briefly is show you chapters 3 and 4, which was in your, package, that came out last week. Our intent, just like what we did with, previous meetings in chapters 1 and 2, is that we're getting this material out to you very, very early, like months early, so that you can have a first pass at it, look at it, see what we're showing, what we're discussing, with the full acknowledgement that the numbers in them are subject to change and are very likely to change, particularly on the supplies and needs. As we talk with folks, somebody might go, hey, we've got a new well that you haven't captured yet, and we'll make an adjustment to reflect that, or any other blunders that we catch along the way. But what I'm going to do, just very high level, is go through the sections of chapter 3 and then the sections of chapter 4, just to give you an idea of what it is that's being discussed in there. The idea is that you've got plenty of time to look at this information, but it's better than waiting until next January or February and laying out a 10,000-page report for your review. And so we can identify now chapters 3 and 4, and then if we need to make changes, I'll let you know what those changes are when we get close to the IPP and then the final plan. So it's kind of take it in small bites. So chapter 3, there are roughly 7 or so, 8 sections within the chapter. We present, we start with surface water supplies, kind of presenting information from TCEQ's active water right data from July 2024, kind of show a map of where some of the major water rights are. We also kind of break down the water rights in terms of just the count of the number of water rights that are in the Brazos Basin. And this is similar. I've tried to, just like I've told you with the previous chapters, I've tried to align with what was shown in the previous plan and update the information. So I'm not being, my team's not being inventive as far as coming up with new, new items to show. Instead, we're sticking, at least at the start, to what was shown previously, with the idea being, just like I think we had comments in chapter 1 about updating how we present economic information. Well, as we get feedback from you guys, we'll do the same things in subsequent chapters. Here, we're just looking at the both Region G, Region H, Region O, how many water rights there are and where those water rights lie, and then looking at it in terms of like the authorized diversion amounts where you see a different picture. So we're just presenting those pictures in the region water plan. We show the growth in the amount of water rights in terms of how much has been authorized in both Region G and Region H over time from 1883 through 2021. And kind of how the water rights authorizations have grown. We were talking about permits in the aquifer. This is just kind of a picture of that kind of growth on the surface water supply side. Also look at both diversion and storage, both within Region G and Region H. I should note, we're sharing our WAM with Region H as well. We're working through some of the items, particularly the SysOps, and how that's represented within the WAM. We've been working with BRA staff to make sure we're representing that accurately. And then we're going to share that information with Region 8's modelers as well. So we're coordinating with them. We aggregate information on water supply contracts. And I will note here, just like in the previous meetings, we've got a huge number of wholesale water providers, major water providers, and water user groups, WUGs, in the region. If I were to try and show you the entire table, it would take hundreds of slides. So we've given you the handout that's got the details, but I'm just pulling out a small section of the table just to give you an idea of what it is we're presenting. And so this particular portion, I started at the top, showing, okay, who's the wholesale water provider, which particular system, and customers identified within with contractual amounts, contracts. We also have recorded in there the actual projections of use as well, because if you'll recall, we look at both contractual demands as well as projected growth in demands, actual demands. We also have a section that discusses how we do surface water availability, how we calculate it. I won't regale you with all of this because you've already approved it in a previous meeting, but essentially we go over what was approved in the hydrologic variance request from the Water Development Board, where we're using the WAMs and we've adopted those methodologies for the purposes of the 26 plan. As far as the determination of availability, we have reported modeled reservoir yields based on updated estimates of sedimentation rates that are included in the table. Again, this is just a selection, so you're not seeing all the reservoirs in the region, but all of those are in the handout and in Chapter 3, and it reflects updated sedimentation information, where we had it. We're still updating some of that based on our conversations with BRA. And where appropriate, there are certain parts like, I think, Aquila and Possum Kingdom where we utilize safe yield instead of firm yield. So we will report that and calculate those as well. As far as the determination, we did a look at both the models from the 21 plan and how they were applied and the 26 plan. If you recall, we have a new Brazos WAM now. And that new Brazos WAM extends the hydrology up to more recent period. The previous WAM was done, but I think it was through 2014, and it was done kind of by the planning group. This is an official TCEQ update that we're now utilizing, and we can compare at various key locations throughout the basin to see the differences. And what we see is what you would expect, that there are minor differences between the previous plan and this plan in terms of the availability, particularly when you're talking about potential new droughts of record in more recent period and where those effects lie within the basin. We also have a discussion on water quality. We talk about the federal regulations and discuss TMDLs. We discuss the 303D list. And kind of summarize the information that's from the draft 2024 Texas Integrated Report of Surface Water Quality. This go around, chances are, let me wave the flag. I'm trying to go quickly, but give it the respect it's due. There are no Category 5A streams for this planning cycle that have been identified to date, but chances are this section I will update if there is updated information that comes between now and the IPP or the final plan next October, then we would update some of this language and this material. So please be aware that that's subject to change as well. And then we have a table within Chapter 3 that lists all the other streams and categories at which they qualify and the impairments of concern for those streams. And we've gone through the basin summary report from 2022, and we have kind of a summary of information there of all the various ongoing studies related to water quality in the Brazos Region G area. On the groundwater side, we have summaries of groundwater information. This will come as no surprise to you. I've presented it to you before, but the GMA areas, the GCDs that are in the area. We have the availability amounts by county and aquifer for 2030 through 2080. So we show those throughout. As discussed in our groundwater committee already, we don't have a mag peak factor this go around. We observe significant decreases in Limestone County, and we reflect that. We discussed that in the groundwater committee that we would kind of flag that information, and we have. We talk about the distribution of source availabilities. You know, we give a map of where the aquifers are, and then also looking at by kind of central, eastern, and west, the amounts of groundwater availability. And then by source, we look at the eastern area, the central area, and the western area. I picked out just examples here. There are more graphics for each of those areas that are within the chapter. But this is just to give an idea of some of the substance that we have that we're how we're characterizing availability in the plan. This lines up very much with what was shown in 2021. We also have a table that characterizes supplies from other regions. So this, we go through our database, our new database, 27, and identify all the entities that are receiving water from a supplier, from a source that's sourced outside of Region G. We just identify those in either the contract amount or the amount supplied in 2030. And then we go through our methodologies for identifying supply. The important part there, the only thing you really need to remember here is, like I've talked before, there's source availability, which is talking about firm yield or MAG, and then there's supply. And supply gets to, do they have the legal capability or the physical capability to access it? And that's when we start talking about allocating the supply. And then we allocate to the various use categories, whether it's municipal and municipal WUGs or the other categories that we have, manufacturing, steam electric, mining, livestock, and I forgot one, I think. Anyway, we look at the firm yields of the reservoirs. This is all focused on drought. For run-of-river supplies, for those that don't have storage, we are required by the board to look at those monthly depletions and make sure that they can access that water in each month of the worst year of the drought of record. And so it's a very rigorous conservative estimate of availability based on 100% dependable run-of-river supplies. And then we look at other firm local sources that have been identified in the planning process. As far as groundwater goes, again, this is all information that was approved by the planning group and by the groundwater committee for Region G. I'm just we repeat it here in the chapter 3 discussion on groundwater about how we characterize supply allocations. This is all that discussion we just captured in chapter 3. Importantly, you know, if we exceed the MAG, it's prorated downwards to align with the MAG so that we don't have over allocations. The existing supplies allocated to water user groups, that is a DB27 report that is generated, will be generated by the Water Development Board for us. When we get close to the IPP, they'll generate that and we'll include it in our either the executive summary appendices or in the appendices themselves. Rules kind of changed a bit there. I can't remember either, but we will have that report for the IPP. And then we included Appendix F, which is that list I mentioned earlier about the water rights, and we've included that in previous rounds, and some of the modeled availabilities for the water rights. Those are all included in Appendix F. And so that just kind of goes through the various sections of Chapter 3. Chapter 4 is the comparison of water demand and water supplies to determine needs.
Does anybody have any comments on Chapter 3? All right, go ahead.
And forgive me if I'm going too fast and somebody else, oh, yes, ma'am.
Just Chapter 3, Chapter 4. If a water user group out there is reviewing any of these and goes, wait a minute, where's that number from? They can still contact you.
Please. Yes. Okay. Yes. Anybody that sees something that goes, that makes sense to me. That's why we're getting this out so early, is so that you know, we've ported the information from the old plan. We've gotten surveys to the extent that we've gotten survey information. We've tried to include that, but where it's dated or updated, you know, we've been trying to engage folks all along, and I imagine that now with, you know, things in writing and particularly needs in writing, I've said before, that gets folks' attention. And then they're going to dig in and go, well, wait a minute, let's make sure we're dialed in on the supplies correctly. Okay. So I don't think I'm going to go through all these. It's just talking about water need is specifically demand related to supply. And we will also identify like contractual needs. And that's when we look at a contractual amount as opposed to the projected demand from a given WUG. Second tier needs are simply after we've considered conservation strategies, after conservation, what is the need that remains? That's called a second tier need. You guys remember county other and all those other categories, so I won't belabor those. I will say that with our first pass, looking at needs, all 37 counties in the region have at least one municipal WUG with a water need. And included within Chapter 4 is a Table 4.1 that goes through and identifies the magnitudes. Again, this is just an excerpt from that table showing some of those needs that we've identified in 2050 and 2080. And also identifying the onset of the need when it starts. So this is the very kind of first pass. And as we go forward, this is what we'll be working from to evaluate conservation strategies and other water management strategies so we can engage with the cities of Georgetown and the cities of Bryan to make sure we got your supply picture right. Then those needs will look accurate, and then we will start talking about the water management strategies that we can include in the plan for the 26 plan. For county other, 17 counties are projected to have water needs for county other. Those are those aggregate small guys, I'll call them, that get collected into the county other aggregate category, and we present that information in Chapter 4. Manufacturing, there are 16 counties with varying magnitudes, some not large, some others getting larger over time on the manufacturing side. Sorry, it's jumping on me. Steam electric power generation. There are 7 counties with steam electric power generation needs that have been identified so far. But again, we'll be working with the entities within those counties to adjust and adapt if need be, either on supplies or developing strategies. Mining, there are 14 counties with mining needs projected, shown here with their decade of need as well as some of the magnitudes. Irrigation, there are 18 counties with irrigation needs. Essentially, we're going through all of the various categories and we present that in Chapter 4. And then livestock, there are 11 counties with projected needs. Again, my plan, when we get closer to the IPP, when we've kind of vetted through all of the WUGs with needs and whatnot, is to burrow down in a little bit more detail, particularly with the scope of work committee when we're looking at strategies and get into some of the detail on this. Chapters 3 and 4 are kind of big picture, so to speak. And then we will burrow down for every individual strategy and have and use our adopted process to vet the strategies and work with the scope of work committee on the details. And then we also present wholesale water provider needs. This looks at projected surpluses and shortages relative to the contractual amounts to give a picture of, okay, relative to the contracts. It reflects customers' lower projected demands, whatever infrastructure limitations might be in place, or limited source availabilities. These aren't wildly off from what we observed in the 21 plan. There are differences, but it's not hugely different than what we've seen before in terms of wholesale water providers, and that's related to the contracts. In the appendices that we included in your packet, specifically Appendix O, we have the breakdowns of major water needs, major water provider needs. I'm sorry. If you recall, we are required. The Regional Water Planning Group is required to include major sections on major water providers, which this planning group's already adopted and identified who they are. And we include that information in Appendix O as far as their needs and a breakdown of their needs for each entity over the planning horizon. And we present that. We present both their demands, we present their supplies, their needs, and their secondary needs. I didn't try and summarize that here because, frankly, I think that summaries at that big a picture distort everybody's picture of what's going on by summarizing it. The details are important on those major water providers looking at each individual one, which is why we provided that in Appendix O rather than try and aggregate it. That is a brief walkthrough of chapters 3 and 4 and the content that's contained therein. If there aren't any questions on that, my last couple slides here, just talking about what we're doing now. We participated in a Region Water Planning Group GMA member orientation this week, which had some healthy discussion on some of these groundwater topics that we were covering today. We're also receiving information from the Water Development Board on rural entities to assist us in our engagement with rural entities and our emphasis on engagement. You guys already know how much we're doing that this cycle. We're venturing into the secondary needs analyses where we're starting to look at the conservation, what those conservation targets are, and then looking at the needs after conservation. We're developing that section in the plan, and we've also been rigorously collecting drought contingency plans and water conservation plans as so we can summarize that information in the appropriate chapters. I think it's 7 in the regional water plan. And plumbers nodding their heads, they're working hard on that. Our water management strategy evaluations, we're getting rolling on those, and we will be engaging with everybody. So you can bet that just like this discussion with Georgetown, we're gonna be having discussions like this with everybody, particularly those where there's needs identified. That's kind of where we're heading down the path. I anticipate that we will have scope of work committee meetings, and we've got a policy committee meeting this afternoon. I'm not sure how many more of those we'll have, but I do anticipate we'll be doing those, and we'll be incorporating whatever the board has on the Georgetown amendment and considering that at the next meeting. And with that, that's all the presentation material that I have today. If there are any questions.
Any questions for Tony? I didn't know he could talk that fast.
I just want to say one thing to the
group. Yes, Gary.
We have a annual, what we call a groundwater summit for Milam and Burleson County. Had that a couple of weeks ago in Caldwell. We always invite someone to bat leadoff, and Tony came, filled in everyone. We had a couple hundred people there, a little low for normal, but still a lot of people, and he really did a good job of telling everyone about the plan. I just wanted to thank him in public for that.
Yeah, you weren't in here. I gave you an opportunity earlier on the agenda, and you weren't even here to tell about it. Okay.